the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Brought back an oldie but a goodie. Me and Mr. Peter Leonard on the vocals there for the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm Dougie Almeida. Danger Studios on Monday, December. Jeez, December 3rd.
I can't believe it.
I'm here with Minda Moe, or Minda.
Minda's good. I think Minda's enough to remember. You know, why? Yeah. You can just drop the Moe. It's going to change anyway. So.
You know, if I had a name like Minda, and if I was a woman, of course, I'd probably just go with Minda.
That's what I'm saying. I get a lot of hate, like, oh, you need to, like, hosts hate it. But I, we're just going to have to learn to live with it.
Oh, like when you go on a show, they're like, what's your name? And you're like, Minda.
Yeah, and they're like, you need more. But yeah. I don't feel like I do, because nobody really remembers you anyway.
Well, they won't like that.
Well, I'm telling you, it's the struggle of a weird name.
By the way, Danny the Jew, who's watching on Facebook Live, says, Minda Long soon. Pretty soon it'll be Minda Long.
That's right. And I'll still just stick with Minda, because it's weird. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's
Dan's
what I'm going to have
pissed
to do. No, he won't care. It'll be officially changed.
All right, well.
Like, on paper and all the legal documents.
He didn't want to go with your name, Dan
Moe? Please. No. We're not going to go with Dan Moe.
Dan Moe.
Well, we got Mindan. You know,
Dan Moe sounds like a bad, like, Three Stooges, like, knockoff group. Dan Moe and whoever else is at the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
There you go. Yeah. You seem in better spirits, so I'm glad. I'm glad we're kicking this off on a positive note.
Yeah, I didn't know when I was going to talk about it, like wait to the end or a little bit. But, you know, everybody knows me. I have dogs. One of my dogs is always in here. And sometimes our older dog, Pepper, used to come in here. But about a couple of years ago, we found out that, you know, she was like really weak and found out she had diabetes. So we had to start giving her insulin twice a day. Which, you know.
Yeah, I was here when the dog transitioned from seeing to blind.
Right.
That was during my, let's say, you know, previous era.
Right.
Here
when
Wake Up Late with Dougie
Show. Yeah, when you're a regular co-host.
That's it.
You got to experience that aspect of the dog.
Yeah, I really like Pepper.
Yeah.
No offense to Player. But, you know, me and Pepper, we kind of connected because she was a little bit more chill. You know, Player's
much
a little
chill.
Bit. Yeah, much more chill. Well, I was trying to be nice to Player. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, so she was always super cool out by the pool.
Right.
Hanging around.
She's just like that person that's glad to be there and won't bug you.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like what an opening act should do around a headliner.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that was Pepper's attitude. She is the perfect, like, example. If you're a comedian opening up for a big guy or big person that you're kind of awestruck with, you know, follow the lead of my dog, Pepper. Just hang out, be there, and unless they ask questions.
Yeah, don't make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Don't say anything. Support in silence.
So she had, you know, she had that. She went blind. Then we had to find her a seeing eye person. Joke. And then...
Ba-dum-bum.
And then at one time last year, she had a stroke. Like, my wife came home one day, she was just laying on the floor. She just lost the use of one of her rear legs.
Oh, my God. See, I didn't really know about that situation there.
Well,
So thank God Pepper in a better place, running, jumping around, seeing.
Well, and she's a fighter.
Waiting for you.
Not only is she, like, cool and shit, but she was a fighter. Like, when that happened, I think she heard my wife going, you know what, we have to put her down. And she, next thing you know,
came back.
Legs start going, fuck that.
Uh-huh.
So I put her in the pool, did some aqua therapy with her, and
all
you
right,
know, she
basically, therapy and
yeah.
stuff. That's
but
very
for
nice.
Like a couple few weeks, I had to walk around holding her with like a back brace,
okay.
so she could go pee and everything.
Interesting.
Yeah, and my wrist almost felt like I was a high school kid.
Well, that's
again,
what I was
going to
say. Maybe
day.
You were just kind of building back the muscle.
yeah, my
tone
wrist
that you had
I,
lost.
I couldn't even. Yeah, my
in
wrist
in adolescence. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, and then of course we had a big show on Thursday night with Brian Scalaro at the iHeart Theater for Bremen Motor Cars, and we came home and she was laying in the middle of the kitchen, like in the dining room area, you know, by the table, just mm-hmm. laying in her piss, and I'm like, oh my goodness,
oh man,
and I tried to pick her up, she couldn't stand up.
Yeah,
we knew. We ended up pretty much crying with her for a few hours at night, and then uh-huh. we went to bed next morning. We had to take her to the vet.
Okay, so you actually like put her down at the vet, though. Did she like just pass at home?
No,
or, like...
we had a yeah. Because we next morning she didn't walk. You know, again the same thing. She was frail. She couldn't stand or anything
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, no, that's when you got to take them to the vet. You right. got to help them out.
I got to bring it. So I bring her there, and the vet says, "Look, yeah, she's got her muscles atrophic. She's mm-hmm. got she must have had another episode, like
mm-hmm,
a neurological
maybe a
episode.
Seizure or right. something like that.
And, you know, we could carry her around again for a few weeks and with, you know.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a very nice quality of life anymore for Pepper.
No.
And she's and too nice of a dog.
A couple weeks, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, I would sit there and my wife's like, you spend more time with her. Did you know? Yeah, because I felt something like that look in a dog's eyes when it looks at you like,
like, you this know. Is it, buddy.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, so
so then you took
made
the dog
decision.
To the vet.
Took her there mm-hmm. and, you know, made that decision.
Yeah, you did. You posted a very touching
with the photos,
tribute to her, the photos. Yeah. Were you at your house in those photos? Was
that
at the vet?
No, that was at the vet.
Right?
Well, the house,
during...
when it's Pepper, just Pepper, that's in the morning before
No,
we...
no, no, when you were, like, kissing.
Oop. Oh, my God. Technical.
When you were like kissing her head.
Oh, that was
where
at
was
the,
that?
That was at the vet.
That
was
at
the
vet.
Table.
Was she alive or dead at that point?
She was
that's
alive.
What I was wondering.
She was alive.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That was the final goodbye.
Yes,
if
that
you
was
will.
Us. You know, basically the vet was very nice. We made that decision.
Yeah, they give you some time in there alone
yeah,
with the dog.
Yeah, let us know when you're done. Any as much time as you want.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. She didn't say that looking at her watch. As long as you want, but.
But you know, can you wrap it up in about 15?
Yeah. We got a tick problem in the fucking. Over at the Carl Springs Park.
Not to be insensitive,
right.
but I think the listeners, the viewers
right.
now might want to know. I wondered, did your wife take the picture or was it a selfie?
Selfie.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so really keeping it personal with the dog.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
I wasn't going to ask people in the vet, hey, can you take a photo of us?
Did you go alone? Wifey was there.
Me and the wife went,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And then, you know,
was she upset as you? Or who was more upset?
We were crying.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
How long have you had Pepper for?
12 and a half years.
That's what I'm talking about. You're, like, invested.
Hell yeah.
Oh, my God. Dan already said he'll walk into traffic if something happens to his kitten. Damn thing's only one.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Well, I do that often without... No, but, you know, it is, and it's amazing because, the dogs are, you know... They're just, but you know, you're saying to yourself, like, we were joking around, like, with her having that limp from the previous stroke, when she would come into the room, you know, at night, when she had, thank God, my one buddy who owns a dog, my buddy John Gilligan in Vegas says, well, at least your dog got up and went to go piss. My dog just started pissing everywhere. We had to put her down. I'm like, yeah, I would do that.
Yeah.
So,
she was a trooper till the end.
She fought, and she would come into the room, and she sounded like the mummy coming into the room. My wife and I would giggle. You know, it's the middle of the night, all of a sudden, Pepper's got to go to the bathroom. So, God bless her for that. And she used to get up on that, step on and out of the area, and just go pee and poop. Sometimes she wouldn't make it all the way off the deck, pool deck, before she started peeing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, come on, honey, just a few more feet. But, you know, we made that decision, and it's kind of weird now, because every time I walk... by that part of the house where her bed would be, it's
yeah. You expect to
get
see her
choked
still,
up,
yeah.
Know.
Well,
still, you know,
it's time
yeah.
heals.
Well,
and you got Player with you,
yeah, and yeah, Player.
I'm hanging wondering,
do
banging.
You think he knows? Do you think he knows?
He absolutely knows.
He does.
Oh yeah.
You think he's probably thinking he
well,
had something to do with it?
Did he try to look for her?
I don't really see him looking for
exactly
because
he knows.
All
That's
right.
why I don't think it was something so out of the blue.
Right.
You know, obviously
he knew
it.
He
Santa,
could sense something was wrong.
Exactly. He could tell that she was like dying. So I don't think this is shocking for
well,
him.
Well, you know. So with that being said, my dog Pepper, God bless you. I love you. My pretty girl.
All right. Well, how about we'll have a great show.
I picked her up. I picked her at the at the rehab. Well, not rehab. the fuck they call it?
It's like, oh, was she transferred to
Del
Rey?
Yeah, she was doing a lot of coke when she was a pup. And we saved her. That we really rescued her. Oh, my God. What's going on? Hold on a second. Technical. All right. Sorry. Thank you, everybody. Sorry, Facebook. We'll edit that out on.
Oh, yeah. He's going to do a big investment in the equipment.
Yeah.
So that being said, mm-hmm. we're going to have a great show.
We do. We got,
and we're going to dedicate it in the honor Pepper. Of Pepper. That's right. What I'm talking about.
Speaking of that, thanks again to Brian Scalera for coming into town. We had a fun time at the Comedy Inn in Miami this weekend.
Great place.
A great.
They bring in a lot of great.
Yeah,
headliners.
Mike's very picky about people he wants on the stage. And, you know, in all honesty, my buddy James Camacho came out and featured, and he did great. And for any comic, you got to make sure that your videos are up to par to your talent.
Yes.
You know, it's not good if your video sucks, or not sucks, but it's basically not even close to your what you could do on stage.
Well, I don't know why you would show somebody that.
I don't
like, I always think, like, if anything, people try to send really short clips because they suck and they can't show you more than 3 or 5 minutes. But truly, that's all people really watch a lot of times.
Yeah, so it's got to be a clip like I'm happy now because Mike said the last time I was there when Schubert was there, I had the last show we did, the late show on Saturday back in September. It was one of those sets, and I didn't video it, but then I realized he's got a camera in there, so I can't wait. That's going to be my my new festival entry.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
My new festival entry video.
It's always great.
You got to have
one of those.
If you're a comic, you got to get a solid 7 minute that you can enter any festival with. That's what you need.
That's correct.
And that kind of thing.
If you want to take that route, you know, festival entry. That's not for the poor. Comedian.
No.
You know, because not only is there entry fees and admission fees, whatever, then you pay for your own travel to get there. So that's really something maybe you don't even consider.
Well, I will say this.
You can almost headline.
There are some festivals right now. The submissions are open for the SLO Comedy Festival in San Luis Obispo.
What's that?
San Luis Obispo.
Okay.
So I've been there. I went there a few, I think it was in 15 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was in it. Fun. They put you up in a hotel. You just got to fly there.
Yeah.
And every day you're eating. Somebody's cooking. They go downstairs. Somebody's making chicken and
Interesting.
Everything.
Interesting.
Yeah. We had a party like in one of the hotel rooms. One of the last nights there was like 50 people in a hotel room.
All right. That's fun.
It was a lot of fun. So that's the SLO Comedy Festival. Go check it out. And bunch of festivals are open now. You can Laughing Skull.
I even think for Florida comedians, I think Florida's Funniest is coming back.
Yeah.
They're kicking it off in Miami because that Miami Improv is opening
now. They got
There's
couple
another
venues.
Spot opening here in Florida to do comedy.
Are you
going to
answer that?
I never have. I don't know if I'm
Florida's
ready.
Funniest is a Florida comedy contest, pretty much run by the Improv down here.
Yeah.
And they go to different locations.
Around the state of Florida, because, you know, what people really don't realize is there's tons of cities in Florida, especially with all the hospitality and tourism down here, where in a very short range of driving distance, you can get to, you know, 6-7 odd cities all having their own comedy club scene. There, so there's a lot to choose from here in the
state.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to enter.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what I mean? I just, and we'll talk off camera. You know what I mean? I mean, even my wife and I were talking. I don't know what the fuck's going on my board here today, folks, but I apologize for you. You know, even like festivals, you know, like my wife and I were talking because same thing, because festivals, some you go to, it's on your dime. But if I'm going to enter Big Pine. I'm going to enter a bunch of big ones I want to try to get into and haven't gotten into.
Yeah.
But aside from that, like even Joe Lowers with the World Series of Comedy said, look, man, you know, I might end up just going out and closing a show just to come in and showcase at the club,
mm-hmm.
you know, without going through the whole challenge.
Yeah.
You know?
I get it.
Yeah. So, but
well, a lot of festival. Is more about networking than anything else.
At least,
and it's letting different club owners see
you
on their
you
stage.
You got to do it.
That's kind of what it's about, more than winning.
You could send out a million emails, but you can go to one festival and get a lot more exposure.
Yeah,
that's it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It'd probably cost you anywhere between $600 to $800.
Yeah, it's just important to, you know, do the ones that are right for whatever right. comedy career you aspire to.
Right.
You know, if you're trying to tour the state, maybe do one that's more local.
Yeah.
If you're trying to tour the country, then maybe find whatever the top, you know, 10 comedy festivals are.
Yeah.
Because some of them, just to get into them, are bio builders in themselves if it's a high echelon.
And have a good video. Yeah. Don't send in a video.
Well, why would you waste your money with a shitty video?
By on Facebook Live, Michelle on Facebook Live. Hey, Dougie, will you ever be in Charlotte, North Carolina? But this Thursday night, I'll be in Concord, North Carolina, which I believe is about 50, not too far away. And I'm also going to be Friday and Saturday at Greenville, South Carolina, which isn't too far.
Oh, man, hit the Carolinas.
I'm going to be the Carolina tour Wednesday through, actually Thursday through Saturday. I'm looking for work in Jacksonville. I'm not going to go all one day and drive. I'm going to say, my wife says, so I'm going to leave Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
probably drive to either like Jacksonville or drive, just stop somewhere in Savannah and just chill out, get a hotel and, you know, check.
I'm sure there's some rooms and stuff.
Get a room
like
with
that.
A balcony. You know, if I can go somewhere where there's a balcony near water, why not?
Oh, my God. Talk about a balcony near water. Guess who's going on a cruise with a balcony room?
Don't ever go on a cruise without a balcony.
Oh my gosh! Well, we don't get it's a corporate sponsored cruise through one of my clients, and you don't get to pick the room,
right?
So just gotta hope that they like you enough.
Oh yeah, that's
to
always
get,
interesting.
Get a balcony.
You find out you're right next to the.
You're on the internal
the
cabinet.
You're basically right where they're shoving the coal in.
Well, you know, after us missing the cruise the first year, we were punished last year with a non-balcony room.
Yeah.
Although it did have a window.
Yeah. Well.
So it was something.
A window.
And I got to say this.
Can you jump out that window?
No, but when it was time to get off the ship, you didn't even have to use the elevator.
Right.
We were right on the same floor as the disembarking.
It's like being first on an airplane. The first fucking chair.
We were right above the service.
Adam
people.
Johnson, yes, I will be in L.A. from the 17th of December through the 23rd.
There you go.
I'll be at the Ventura Harbor Beach Comedy Club featuring on Friday and Saturday night. So.
Okay.
But I'm going to work on dates at HaHa,
Laugh
Factory. Yeah. No. The Laugh Factory, HaHa, and Ice House. I'm working on a couple other places there. So, and I'm doing Flights, which is Dave Williams.
I was just
going to
bring that up. I was like,
Tuesday night.
You should definitely do that room.
So come out and check out and come hang out. All right.
You're all over the place.
Fucking
Carolinas this week. LA coming up.
I'm happy. I'm thankful.
Uh-huh.
You know, like to me, the best news and the thing I'm just riding in my mind that keeps me focused is. In April of 2019, I'm going to be headlining Zanies.
Oh, excellent. That's exciting.
In St. Charles, Illinois.
Illinois.
So I'm happy. You know what I mean? I'm real excited about that because if you ever go to the Zanies in St. Charles, there's an artist there and they have this big blackboard.
Uh-huh.
And somebody uses chalk and colored chalk and paints the face or draws the face of the headliner. And there's been some headliners there that have not been happy.
Oh, yeah?
The fucking look.
Well, I want you to take a picture next to the board, no matter what it looks like.
Yeah, I'm going to be, I might come home and want to, I'm not eating anything for 3 days.
Well, I'm sure it's more of a caricature.
Caricature.
That's a very hard word.
We apologize to our listeners, but we are experiencing technical difficulty. Actually, Dougie turned the volume button down all the way. We will now resume our show, somewhat still in progress. And get everybody on Facebook Live, thank you for sticking around for that.
They're the real heroes.
Right,
here.
They are.
I mean, it wasn't you figuring out that the volume knob was down.
They were nothing like a Miami Heat fan or a Miami Dolphin fan. They didn't bail in the first bad moment.
Hey, this is like Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We got free tickets all season long. That's what I'm talking about because...
Now it's loud.
It's for your entertainment. A little too loud now?
Yeah. Well, that's because he's probably got his ear to the speaker.
I mean...
Yeah, we're good. At any rate, my recording device seems pretty good. At any rate, turn your volume down on your end. All right, so we were talking about my dog and stuff like that and everything.
Well,
but,
we moved past that. We were talking about your tour, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so we were talking about you amping up and culminating all of your energy for... this headlining opportunity in Illinois, right?
Yeah, and next year, I want to still, I think next year, that's my, I want to keep touring until I do just tour as a headliner and get that time behind me and in my belt, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I always relate it to like fighting or something I've done, right? Like, you know, you sometimes you get in a ring with somebody who's in their fourth fight, and you get in the ring, they realize, you know, they're this close to being a Special Olympics athlete. You realize you've been overmatched. This wasn't a Don King prepared vent.
Okay.
You know, so you kind of like, you know, you just have a little fun and move on, you know, but then you get to the next level, right? And you keep going up. And it's not until you really get to that level where you really get polished, right?
Yes.
You're really coping with all kinds of things. So that's when next year is coming. But that's why you were talking about festivals. I don't, you know, I'll go to some really good ones I've never been to. And other than that, I'm spending my time traveling as a comic.
Pay to do something when someone is paying you to do kind of the same thing
right.
in a different format.
Right. Yeah. But if you need the exposure, it's the greatest way to do it. Believe
Absolutely.
Me. I was taken by this story. I didn't really talk about it on the show. And this isn't straight from the headline. This is just in the opening show. We talk about things I find interesting. And I'm glad the world has spoken and sanity has shown itself.
Okay.
You hear the story about this guy in Holland or something that wanted to legally change his age from 69 to 49.
No.
On his social media. He wanted to be like, just as a person who's a man wants to associate as a woman. Now there's rules and stuff where I can say, you know, on my driver's license, if I'm in New York, I can be a whatever that category is.
Yeah, you can be whatever gender
right.
you want.
But not even gender. Or they don't want their own. It's not male or female. They want their own distinguished gender, like X gender, whatever the fuck
okay,
it is.
So you know, you could
or question.
Just put whatever.
It's a question mark. Instead of M or F, it's just a big question mark.
Interesting.
And I'm not dissing on the people, but listen.
Why can't you just check, like, refuse to declare?
If you can't figure out what sex you are or what you want to be, and you, then forget about whether you want sugar in your coffee or not. You know what I mean? Decisions.
Right. Okay.
I'm just fucking. So this guy, a Dutch court rules, 69-year-old man, cannot legally declare himself 20 years younger. You can't do it. That's
what?
It. Stop fucking around with everything.
Hold up. So is legally declaring defined as changing it on your Facebook? Because I don't think there's any rules against
that. No, but
that.
This guy wasn't just happy with going on Facebook and saying, yeah, I'm 49, and people looking at his picture is like, okay.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he wanted to put it on his driver's license.
By the way, I had a few people tell me recently, even at the Bremen Motor Car Show.
Yeah.
Someone said, I mentioned my age on stage, and I go, man, I'm your age, and I look older than you.
Okay.
And I'm like, so it was a compliment that I look young.
Good for you.
Younger. Young for my age.
Yes.
So that was feeling good.
Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about that.
But I'm not going to go on Facebook and say, hey, I'm 35.
You could, though.
And this guy looks older than me. This guy looks like he could be, not my dad, but maybe my older brother.
You can go on every social media and say you're whatever age you want. You could say you're 12.
Right. Well,
I mean,
a 69-year-old Dutch man has failed to attempt to legally declare himself 20 years younger.
So he wanted to put that shit like on his birth certificate
yes.
and his driver's license.
Yes.
Well, then that would make a birth certificate irrelevant.
Some girl at the bar says, you're not 49. Here's my driver's license.
Weird. That's a weird thing to want to do.
On Monday, a court in the Netherlands, a city of Arnhem, rejected his age-changing application, saying that while Rattleband is at liberty to feel 20 years younger than his real age and to act accordingly, actually changing the birth certificate is not possible.
Yeah. No,
you cannot rewrite history.
Well, it's called a birth certificate. Thus, it's a certification
yes.
of your actual birth. Changing the date on it would render it completely irrelevant
yes.
as a document.
It would nullify the document.
That's what I'm saying. So legally, even if he wanted to,
yeah.
legally he cannot.
Because it sets a precedent. If he
oh
changes his age, I want to change I'm black.
Yeah, and then you change your age, and you make it real low, and then you get better health insurance.
Yeah.
And the whole thing's a mess.
Your car insurance would go up.
Oh, man. Well,
you know what I mean?
You just don't go too low. You just got to keep it above 25.
Then you'd be all fucked up. Like, hey, you know what? I'm going to do it at this age so I can like try to play sports.
I wouldn't remember what age I was
yeah.
anymore.
And then you go to a bar, and you're like, sir, you're only 15. God damn it. Can't drink anymore. I got to do fucking, you know.
All right.
Interesting. But it's just a story like that somebody, it actually got to that point. We're in a world where something like that got to that point. Like, you know what? We're going to actually have to go to court to tell this guy that he can't legally change his age 20 years younger.
Well, it's one of those things. You know, you hit gender, and then it starts, and that may make sense for why, but now you're going down a path, so you got to cut it off someplace.
Right.
It's a, what's that term? Slippery slope.
Yeah, slippery slope.
Slippery slope.
And it sets a, how do you say, a scary precedent.
Yeah. Well,
It's like legal jargon.
So they didn't let him do it. So
no, thank God.
Justice system has come through again. Even the one in Holland. Hey, I mean, they're pretty smart there in Holland. They had Amsterdam before we had any kind of legalization in this country.
You think the tourist people in Amsterdam are getting like pissed now? America's turning into like the big Amsterdam?
Maybe.
Right? I mean,
that
think about it. Would you rather go to
along.
Amsterdam or would you rather come to the States and go to Vegas
just
and
go to Colorado?
Colorado
was amazing. Love Denver.
That would be a fun thing to do, like create like this travel, like this... like tours. Yeah, we'll go to Europe and we'll put the wheat near the.
Well, they kind of have that.
I imagine they do.
Yeah, it's there.
Be the first
we're there.
Yeah, I couldn't be the first one with that idea.
No, you're not.
Hey,
there's
you know
whole
what? I got this idea. I'm gonna get a
bro.
Rock and put a face on it.
An entire
call it my
app,
pet rock.
Leafly.
Yeah.
It's your all-in-one.
Yeah,
stop
like a tour
for information, travel, acquisition,
right?
Pricing, inventory.
Mm-hmm.
References, recommendations.
All things that have been laid out for you.
And then also some very like medical information,
you know,
like what each strain does and what it interacts with. And
so you're not walking in going, I don't know, you tell me what to get.
Exactly. You can be fully informed.
It's always interesting to go to
I
dispensary.
I feel like Leafly needs to sponsor me. Leafly,
you looking
Southwest.
For, you're out,
yeah.
Well, I would, listen, we talked about it. I would love, I've been flying the fuck out of that Southwest.
Of course, you're welcome.
Yeah, and I actually, you know, me and Brian Sklar got in a little car. He didn't like Southwest. I go, why don't you? And he goes, well, you know, I like to have a seat. I'm like, well, dude, if you're in the A group, you have a seat.
Yeah.
You know, and you get a pretty good seat.
If you get in the B group.
But they raised the price.
Well,
Southwest went from $15 early bird to $25.
Oh, I've never done the early bird. I just check
you
in.
You just get and do it?
I have it on my, like, phone. The timer goes off.
So
exactly
as long
24.
As you do it on that moment of the hour, 24 hours before, you'll get an A?
No.
All right. See?
Hold on. Well,
I need an A, man.
Well, it doesn't matter because if you've noticed, you can still pick window aisle all the way through the B group. And this is why you don't get an A, because they hold off a bunch of A's
right.
for people buying the select. So
right.
technically, you might not get an A.
That's
but
why
that
sometimes you go
filled.
There and you're in line, like the A 1 through 30 line.
And nobody's there.
There's nobody in the front.
That's why.
Yeah.
So it's you can get all the way through the end of B and still pick window
well,
aisle.
And
I don't care about sitting in the
listen,
back
as
of
for
the
a
plane.
Comic,
I mean,
when
if something goes wrong, we're all going to die.
Well,
it doesn't matter
safe,
where I'm
you
sitting.
You know, well, it does. There's a study that if you the safest place to be on a plane. Is towards the back in the middle.
Well, I just sit in the back anyway.
Yeah.
Or away from the children on the plane, whichever one I get to choose.
Well, you can't.
Well, that's why I like the family boarding to go right ahead of me.
Yeah, get
so
them
I
fucking...
can get strategic.
So the SUV, what was I saying? Southwest Airlines, you know, you get two free check-on bags.
Yes.
So I merch, boom, and you know what? I'm not going to roll my fucking carry-on. Put that bitch in there,
bro,
too.
Bro, I told you this 5 years ago or 4 years ago.
I'm walking around the airport like, you know, like a bum. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have to carry anything. I forgot something. Felt good. So,
yeah, no, because
yeah.
it's the two carry-ons and the two checked up to 50 pounds.
Southwest
oh
Airlines isn't writing me a check yet, goddammit, so that's enough of them.
Well.
But you're right. Usage should
have
sponsorship.
We have enough in the archive footage to pretty much do like a 30-minute infomercial at this point.
And the other problem is now I have no idea how long we were going the first set, so my timing is all fucked.
Well, I can tell you this. I know when we started, it was 3:31, so let's just take it from there. You know, we'll get to like 4:40. There couldn't have been more than 10 minutes of you figuring that shit out.
I'm actually a little concerned.
Oh, God.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Oh.
I see it's under the D's.
Yeah. Another volume knob?
We did about 18 minutes, so cool.
All right.
All right.
There you go.
There you go.
Now
so
you
we're at, right now we're at 27 on the normal dial. And it's partly cloudy here in South Florida, about 75 degrees.
Fantastic.
A little bit of damp rain in the area. Certain scattered showers amongst town. Anyway.
Having an epic battle about Southwest. Of course you won it.
No, we're moving on. I don't care about winning anymore. I expressed myself. I did my duty.
Yeah.
I shared, hey, this is why I like it. And if you know what, if you still,
that's it.
Good. Less. Then it means I have to get in your, that means you're not going to be sitting next to me on a plane.
New year, new you.
So Southwest Airlines, I'm on it. And you know what? Here's another airline I like. I've heard so much about it. I'm real excited. Alaska Air.
Yeah.
Are they good?
I don't know.
I heard they got really good airline. Like, so I'm flying.
I imagine they just go to Alaska, right?
No, I'm flying a direct flight from Fort Lauderdale to L.A.
On Alaska?
Alaska Airline.
Interesting. Well, let me know how it goes.
I also booked the flight. I'm turning into a travel fucking genius. So I'm going to Northwest again in Seattle and Oregon and all that shit in July next year.
Yeah.
So I booked a one-way ticket on Southwest for $150.
Amazing, right?
One-way ticket, straight.
Yeah.
And I get there, and then what happens? I get off the plane. All right, I do a couple shows, and now I got to go to Medford, Oregon. I'm like, well, I could rent a car for a week and spend $300 because everything's so expensive with rental cars out there.
Yeah.
Or I go to Alaska Airline and I get a round trip ticket from Seattle to Medford and back for $118.
Nice.
Round trip.
Okay. Well, it's probably like going from Fort Lauderdale to Orlando or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now you're going back. You're going to be doing more comedy. Sounds like you got your travel locked down. I'm going to have the perfect thing coming to you in 2019, launching some content that's travel related.
Oh, really?
So it's something you'll really love.
All right.
And now what else we got on the docket there of headlines? I feel like we're just rolling through Monday.
Well, two things we got to cover. First of all, congratulations. The market, although I don't want to have a disclosure and make any type of things, but the market was up big today because the U.S. and China had agreed to a 90-day truce in this trade a skirmish that we are in. What's up, Jackie Sanchez? Let's see. Adam John says, yeah, Alaska bought Virgin. So that's the, there you go.
Interesting.
That's why you got those new routes. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
It's Adam Johnson giving us the travel news.
Oh, and I think Virgin may have had to have gotten rid of those because they just took over Brightline.
Right.
You know Brightline?
The railway system that's running over all these people that don't know they shouldn't fucking cross a railroad track.
Well, there's a lot of elderly and...
it's amazing how many people... Oh, another person died on a fucking...
Intoxicated people on the railroad
track. But these are people that probably walked and they said, ah, that train's not that fast. Yes. I've done this in the past. I'm not as young as I used to be, but fuck, you know, I stretched this morning. Oh, holy fuck, it's going to kill me.
Yeah.
Don't make those decisions. I'm like, when I'm on the road and I'm about to pull into a major street or something like that, and people are hauling ass, and I go, okay, you know what? I can just gun it and get in here. Like, no, I'm not going to fucking gun it and get in there because if something happens, my accelerator fucking pedal slips or something happens, this guy's going to hit me in the back and I'm going to be in a fucking wheelchair for a month.
Yeah.
You know, stop making stupid decisions.
It's called defensive driving.
Yeah. So good news. Everybody's panicking, but it was good news. And I've been saying that there will be a this
will
all be handled.
Do you think this truce will?
It eventually leads to positive aspects moving
into neither resolution.
Neither party truly wanted to really get it to the next level. It's there's a moment of reckoning here. And I find it interesting. And here's the last thing in the opening part of the show I found interesting. But you know the show Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Yeah.
You know, had a very shiny nose.
Yeah, they're mad about it, right?
Yeah.
For some reason.
Well,
I don't remember
the
why.
Basis of the red... Rudolph had a red nose. So he got bullied in the reindeer games, in the school and shit.
Well, yeah. That's
right?
He's
walking
the
through the hallway
goes.
Trying to hook up with chicks.
Not happening.
And he's like, hey, look at that guy with a red nose. What a weirdo. Hey, that's not nice.
Yeah.
Right? And then what happens? So they start bullying him. Then, you can't play on our team. You know, fuck. You know, Rudolph's a fag.
They say, you can't play on our team, fuck, and the child's thing.
Like, yeah, that. Well, you know, it depends on what's, you know, they look at Rudolph. Hey, look at Rudolph. He's, you know, he's gay because he's got his nose up his ass.
Okay.
And so Rudolph's like, fuck. So now people basically feel... that it shows that during that whole time that Santa Claus and everybody at the North Pole really weren't taking care of all the bullying that was going on in the reindeer world.
Okay.
Like, in other words, like Santa Claus was turning a blind eye. Like you know, give Santa Claus a break. He's watching every other fucking kid
but
in the world.
It doesn't matter. It's
and now he shouldn't have to watch his fucking reindeer.
Well,
I mean, I think you're asking a lot of...
It's a movie.
I just think, you know, I mean, but...
Like, who cares? It's a movie. It's not real. It's giving, like, a lesson.
But don't
like,
you take that in perspective when you're going to make a comment about a fucking claymation? Goddamn. These people, we find it offensive. It does this to bullying. Here, let me tell you something. You know what the most important thing about bullying we have to... Anybody, any fucking parent? As a step-parent, okay, and as a mentor who's for Boys Clubs of America, I've done... You know, when it comes to bullying, my best advice is this. If you expect it never to occur, you're going to be a victim of it. And if you just understand that it probably may occur and it does exist out there, the next best thing to know is how do you cope with it and deal with it?
Well, what I don't understand is I don't feel the movie is some kind of promotion of bullying.
Oh, no, man, because, you know,
at the end, the kid comes out on top. The red-nosed reindeer is the chosen one.
That's what I got out of the story.
And gives everyone a big F you. Like, look at me hustling to the top.
Being different.
Y'all
fine.
Are trying to hate on me.
Yeah.
But again,
you would think that all the bullies would watch that and go, I don't want that to happen to me.
We're in a social environment where everyone is offended at everything, and it makes it almost impossible to be a good comedian.
Oh, God.
Like, how lame is the material you're doing if you're never offending anyone ever? Like, it kind of seems like impossible.
By the way, heads up, Jimmy Schubert's putting out a new special. And I seen the trailer he put on his Facebook page.
All right.
But it's like him being shut down because of the political police and the fucking way the world is and shit.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny. And so watch for that coming out. But you know what? I mean, yeah. I taught martial arts, so bullying was a big part. People would bring their kids and go, he's being bullied in school, you know? And so I like the kid come to my office, and I give him a fucking switchblade and go, listen, next time that fucking kid comes in, sticking in his balls.
That, it works.
No, but, you know, but, I mean.
You don't have to get any belts that way.
No, you don't. Then listen, your parents can afford this. Just take this fucking knife and cut the.
Oh, that's,
you know what I mean?
Nice.
No, but if you really want to deal with bullying, first of all, the parent has to take the time, get off their fucking lazy ass and actually parent and go, you know what, Billy, there's bullying out there. There's always going to be some fucking asshole that's going to come up to you and start fucking with you. Right? Because he doesn't like who you're with, where you're at, or he just doesn't like you for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to figure out how you're going to deal with that shit. And here's how you deal with it. Put your hands up, you know.
Okay.
This is what it's like to get hit, Billy. People are going to hit you, so hit me back. You know what I mean? Let's learn what this is all about, this physical aspect of it. Let's realize it's nothing that big. And realize if you really have power over it, like the Force, like in fucking the Jedi, then you can, you know.
Yeah, you're going to do all that.
You'll be fine.
Well, all right. Well, maybe. What happens if Billy is, like, really small for his age and underdeveloped, like, from
that's
a muscular
standpoint?
That is
racist
standpoint.
Of you. You're being
and he really
physically racist to people.
Fight.
You don't
people
have to. It's
him.
Not. You know what I mean. It's all about the force, baby. Okay?
Okay.
Listen. Winning a fight 99% of the time is just basically your presence of mind. Once the violence occurs.
Okay.
Once the first real aggression. Once the first real.
See, I would take
launching
the
into fucking mayhem.
Yeah.
Once that happens, the first person that finds the most composure in that situation could win 99.9% of the time.
So how about this solution instead?
Mm-hmm.
I get little Billy, like, a bunch of confidence so that he doesn't walk around like a scrawny little loser at school that screams, pick up, because, I mean,
how are you
going to
get him confident? You're going to let him
fondle
your chest a little bit? Hey, Billy, get a little. Be a man. Let me show you what it's
like. You know, you
got
to know what motivates Billy.
Hey, listen,
number two,
any amount of money, if you let a young, I'm not condoning this, but I'm just saying if a very voluptuous woman let a young boy is being bullied feel her boobs, I think the kid's going to go back to school the next day and kick the shit out of that asshole.
Yeah, and then the girl would get arrested for being a crazy
well,
pedophile.
Well, you know, there's always every action has a reaction.
Yeah, so that's what you think those teachers are doing in school when they get caught? They're just building self-confidence.
All the teachers
for
in
the
Florida
students.
Are banging their students.
But what I'm saying is a lot of times, unfortunately, people are drawn to people who carry themselves in a weak manner.
Yeah.
A little bit sometimes an air about you can change. Like, I like to give off, especially to strangers in particular, that I'm a huge bitch. And that kind of
air makes it so nobody
really talks to me and I don't have to interact with, like, crazy people in the grocery line.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's ever like, oh, how's your day? I have a look that says,
yeah, don't bother
don't
me.
Fucking talk to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
I don't care about your story. I don't care. Don't.
I am not interested.
You know what I'm really fearful of?
What?
Is having a kid. And you know how all kinds of weird people think they can look and touch and
mm-hmm.
talk to your kid and talk to you about the kid and whatever? I'm really not into that, and I don't want to talk to those people.
Right.
So I'm not really sure how I'm going to combat that without, I mean, I could be a total
leave your
asshole.
Kid at home, put him in a box and lock him up and just take him out when you want.
Okay, that would be weird too. Why are you encouraging me to do a lot of illegal things this podcast that are creepy illegal?
Listen,
they're not even like cool illegal, like, oh, I took a bunch of edibles on a plane. That's cool illegal.
Right.
You're like, become a pedophile to small boys.
No, he's touching you. You're not touching him. If you'd be a pedophile,
lock
if you touched
your
a little
children
boy,
in a basement.
All right, listen. Again, I'm mourning
parenting
right now.
Parenting from Dougie. Okay, well, we'll
listen,
take it
about,
as that.
My whole point is about that goddamn bullying story. Okay.
Yeah. So what should
Rudolph
that kid
is
do?
Fine. Show the kid.
Yeah.
Show the. Here's the thing. Watch. Have him watch Rudolph. And if he's so fucking concerned about the air of possibilities, maybe the kid inherited a fucked up gene you just got, and he thinks everybody's out to kill him. And if he said, hey, Johnny, what'd you think about Rudolph? Oh, I thought those bullies, you know, I can't believe Santa didn't do anything about those bullies. You know, you're right. You know whose job it was? Not Santa's job to take care of the bullies. It's the fucking parents of the bullies. You know, everybody, like, this is what this country is about. See, everybody wants the government to save every fucking woe and woo.
Whoa, we just took Rudolph to the government?
That's what
I was telling you.
That's the big fucking,
God,
that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants, listen, the captain of the team, the boss, the this. I want no responsibility. It's that person's fault, and I got to fucking know what to do, and that person's got to help me. If they don't, fuck them. They're an asshole.
Bottom line, the first era, the participation trophy era, they are now adults.
Right.
And this is what happens.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they, look, it's okay to be competitive.
It'd be a shame if there's like a millennial
teach
disease.
Teach your kids that there are people who are better and worse. That's why you got to work hard, right?
Yeah.
But
you're not just as good as him.
Like, you don't have to do it in a crazy way where, like, you know, dad is like screaming in the face of a 7-year-old.
I had a parent one time when I coached soccer. True story. This kid, you legally had to play a kid at least a half.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was kind of, he's like, look, my son should go back in the game. Da, da, da. That one kid, I know, I go, so listen, let's talk after the game. I'm going to coach. You parent and you fan, you cheer. But, you know, if I need a fucking assistant coach, sign up, you know, join the team.
And then you'll know the rules.
And then, you know, we'll
you'll
go whatever.
You'll understand why who's playing where.
So after then the guy comes up to me before, like, hey, listen, my son, that you have that one kid out there. I go, listen, I don't know what kind of delusions you're under, but your kid's not very good. And this isn't where it begins. It also goes when he's at practice, he has no interest in shit. He fucking interrupts. He's not playing. He's not, you know what I mean?
Disruptive.
He's disruptive. He doesn't sit there and go, okay, you know what? Can we do another, you know.
He does not want
fucking,
to learn
soccer.
Yeah,
he's a little, you know what I mean? So I don't, you know, don't tell me whether your kid should go in.
Yeah.
And well, parents don't see it that way.
As long as they fall, I don't understand, like that's. When they're real little, that should be the rules. 7, 8, everyone plays equal amounts of time. And then it should get more and more competitive as they get older. So you can teach them different skills.
And you know why it gets competitive? Because those who stick around and
work hard and
keep
practice
doing it,
a lot
like
get
in the
better.
Martial arts. You know, it was funny. We used to enroll kids in martial arts schools, right, when I ran the school. So the idea, there's always a failure rate. You know, kids will come out and then about 30 days, 60 days into it, the kid parent buys the gi, all the sparring equipment, all that shit. And they're like, oh, he doesn't want to do it now. He wants to fucking play lacrosse.
Yeah.
All right. You know what I mean? So, you know, a parent needs to take, okay, let him do that. But after about 14, 15 different fucking changes and, you know, he's still playing video games, you may want to do a little parenting. By the way, it's that time of day.
Yeah, we're. Oh.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thank you, Peter. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from here and around the world and make fun of them. It's Rob Calvert, the producer of the Paul Castronovo show, who suggested I need to make that minor adjustment.
Okay.
Man pulls put clothes ID on stand-in corpse in a $2 million scheme to fake his own death. More and more people today are either killing themselves, the suicide rate is highest it's ever been in history. Probably because a lot of people.
I saw that statistic on the news.
Social media is being pointed as one of the culprits of it, and not just that, the competitiveness of a overpopulated space.
What overpopulated space?
It's
right
Earth.
Now,
Earth is overpopulated space.
Oh, okay.
It's a little bit of an Illuminati concept.
Well,
but
a lot of it is that suicide, it's like drug overdoses are really high. People are killing themselves on opioids.
People are just taking the easy, let's go
heroin.
This way, let's escape, let's do this. Yeah. But I was recently reading some stuff, interesting, but great about how social media has just elate, like people have become feeling more worthless because of the bullying that happens and all kinds of shit happens.
It's rough out there. It really is.
A Minnesota man accused of faking his own death 7 years ago to collect $2 million in life insurance arranged for a stand-in corpse to be dressed in his clothes in Moldova, according to the judge's detention order. Hey, why are you looking at me? You kind of look like me, dude.
What's a stand-in corpse? So is
as opposed
stand-in
to your
corpse some other dead guy or just some guy who you're paying to act dead?
No, I'm thinking that he was probably dead.
Why don't you just have a closed casket funeral?
Yeah, like
that sounds cheaper,
right?
Yeah,
but the medical examiner is always going to want to see. And they got to identify the body one way or the other. Before any life insurance policy is paid, the death certificate has to be official.
So how do they do that even with a stand-in corpse? They had different fingerprints and different dental. I got a lot of questions.
Based on this guy being arrested, somewhere there was a fucking...
Yeah, there was a flaw in the system.
There was a flaw. Igor Vorotinov. 54 also planted his identification on the body before placing the corpse along a road in the Eastern European country. A U.S. judge said in rejecting Vortanov's request to be freed pending trial, U.S. Magistrate Judge Catherine M. Mendez, who once kissed her boyfriend behind a portable in middle school, but nobody cares, ruled Wednesday that Vortanov posed too great a flight risk in a ruling. Mendez, Varner was indicted in 2015. No one on one count of mail fraud. He was arrested this month, returned to the U.S. So if you're going to do it, you got to find somebody with the same dental records you have.
Something.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. That sounds really elaborate. He really wanted to, like, get the hell out of there, right?
I don't think, you know, listen, you have to be really, here's the thing. It's a catch-22. If you want to fake your own death, you really have to be rich.
No, but you just got to take that money, and you got to, like, right now, if he was in Bermuda someplace or, like, the island somewhere, it wouldn't even matter if they figured it out. If he already had the money on him, he could just disappear with $2 million. Go someplace and live out his life, like in Mexico.
Prosecutors allege the court says here that he took out the life insurance back in 2010. There's always a two-year, they call it a suicide clause.
And right at the two-year mark.
No, it's a suicide clause. You, if you die in the first 2 years, or suicide, you can't collect anything after that.
Yeah.
You know, so stick in there,
there's
buddy.
There's like a buffer time. You can't buy the insurance and then die.
Well, there's
six
always, it's always,
later.
Listen, insurance companies will insure, insurance companies know everything. When you're going to die, how you're going to die. The actuarials there are like, or people sitting in front of fucking.
Is that a risk adjuster? What are they called? Or some kind of adjuster?
Actuarials do all kinds of shit. And they interpret the real ratios of things happening. To almost to the fucking T. Like, you think the NFL bookies got a good one to count the points.
Yeah.
Actuarios make them look like fucking rain, make them look like a fucking WWE wrestler.
Okay.
I almost said Rain Man, which would have been a completely different.
Yeah.
That would have been like, well, they're smart.
They're
then.
Better.
Yeah, well, that's a bad example.
Yeah, it was. I'm glad you corrected.
I caught it.
Okay, so what you saying
is? She, 51, identified the corpse. Let's see. His wife is a primary beneficiary. The couple divorced later that year. She identified the corpse as her husband, prosecutors alleged. She then returned to the U.S. with a death certificate and cremated remains and received the life insurance payment.
Bam. That's how you do it.
It was transferred to her son in Switzerland. See, that's
they
another thing.
They are dirty.
If you're going
to
do something bad.
Talk about knowing how
to work the system. If you're going to you can't do this like, okay, you go, you know what, we're in Florida, so why don't you go up to Jacksonville?
Yeah. So
we'll send it there.
It sounds like a pretty good plan so far. Where did it go awry? Did he just like pop up on social media and they're like, he's alive? Or did like they actually figure it out?
Well, after the insurance was paid, prosecutors spoke by phone in May 2006 with Igor Vortanov in hopes of persuading him to return to the U.S. I see. She played good. Doesn't say how they caught him, I guess they.
Oh, okay. Well,
the identity of the corpse is still unclear. We'll just call him some lucky fuck, unlucky
fuck. Oh, man.
Right?
Yeah, because you definitely don't get paid to be a stand-in corpse.
No, it's not like, say, hey, you know, whether he was dead already and it said, hey, you know what? It's like when you find a shoe and go, hey, you know what? I think that might fit.
Where do you buy one of those? You think
there's
a black market for stand-in?
Yeah, I bet there is.
On the, what is that, the deep web?
Some guy who's like a drug dealer, lost all his money. Uh-huh. He's got nobody, he's about to die. He goes to this black market person and goes, listen, man. When I die, I want to go ahead and tell you, go ahead and use my corpse to take it.
He pre-sells the corpse.
Maybe. Listen, the world's crazy, man.
I think you're giving the stand-in corpse too much credit. I think someone just puts out a
hit on
somebody.
I don't know what I don't know.
Yeah.
That could be happening in our world.
It could be.
All right.
I mean, a lot of people do a lot of things for business.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So anything else going on?
It was kind of funny. I watched this on the news yesterday, recently, cops are seeking this couple from Europe who the guy dropped. He was about to ask his girlfriend's hand in marriage in Times Square, and he dropped the engagement ring through the grid, and it went down, and they couldn't find it. They had since had gone back to their home country. I'll look at it.
Oh, God, they came
but
from
they
another
found
country?
It.
To do
yeah,
it? Oh, they found it.
Yeah, but they don't have them. They don't know who the fuck the guy is.
So who found it? The city of New York? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
New York City police saw it on Saturday for an unlucky suitor who dropped the engagement ring down Times Square grating while proposing to his fiancée.
Oh, what a botched proposal. Holy
yeah, this
shit.
Guy's. I mean, she should say no.
God, where do they come from?
Does
it say their country of origin? I just wonder, like, how far he flew for that engagement to then drop
imagine the
it.
Drive home, the flight home.
Like, are they just from, like, across
the pond? It was a nice
pond?
Ring.
Yeah.
It was a real nice one. It was sparkly and everything. It looked pretty. I spent a lot of money on it, God damn it. I hope I insured it. Video shared on social media showed the man fumble the ring before lying on the sidewalk in the popular tourist destination and peering into the grating while his partner looked on in concern. It was a lot better than her going, "You fucking idiot," and walking away.
Yeah, you kind of got to, I mean, if she was going to say yes, you got to just go with it at that point and be like, "No, it's no big deal. We'll get another one, you know."
It's insured.
Is it insured yet?
I would imagine. Well, I don't know how much he spent. I don't know if it was a cubic zirconian. I had a friend one time, years after his marriage, his wife found out her engagement ring was a cubic zirconia.
Oh, man. When they got divorced and she went to get it appraised.
It was funny. They got divorced shortly after. I don't know if that was the one thing, but I imagine it was the feather of the weight that took down the camel, as they say.
Okay.
He was so excited, he dropped it in the grate. I think there's an updated story on this, too. I imagine. I think they actually know who he is now.
Well, you said they know who he is, and they found him. And yeah, they found the ring, so they just got to, like, mail it back now.
Well, yeah.
It's a ring.
Hey, why don't you come and pick it up over here right in front of the police station?
Yeah, we're going to need you to sign for it.
Matter of fact, why don't you bring somebody with you as able hands?
That's why I'm wondering, like, is he from, like, Australia? Like, how far was
the flight? I think he's English or something.
Yeah, probably something just regular.
Have you ever asked yourself the question, why do flies suddenly appear when you open a beer?
No, I don't drink beer.
No?
I think beer's gross.
Yeah, I think the funnier story would be, why do flies suddenly appear when you unzip your pants?
Okay.
Experts have figured out.
Neither of those things happen to me.
Experts have figured out why fruit flies have a knack for appearing when a can of beer or a bottle of wine is enjoyed.
Yeast
outside.
Hops.
Well, they're fucking alcoholics.
Okay, that makes sense too.
There you go. It's a
fucking
joke.
Some free drinks.
You think that a good one-liner?
Yeah.
Scientists recently found out why fruit flies gather around when you open a bottle of beer or wine. They're alcoholics.
Yeah, it's a good one. That's a keeper.
All right. Remember that, everybody.
Yeah, no, write it down.
Of course, nobody really wants those flies around, but they still come following open a beer. It says here, now scientists have figured out how fruit flies have such a knack for magically appearing whenever a can of beer is opened.
And why is that?
Thousands of experts and conducted many, many years of drinking. And the study was led by Dr. Floris van Brugel, who said, "I like beer," and resolved a paradox. So the science, get to the fucking story, man.
Yeah.
But a long series of papers claimed that fruit flies were averse to CO2. They basically, the only insect for which that was reported.
I kind of feel like they're going to be like, and they like beer because there's fruit in it. And it's
CO2. They like the CO2.
Okay. So they actually thought at first they were adverse to the CO2, and now they're finding that they were wrong.
Scientific literature inspects broadly, blah, 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 shows that CO2 is a universal attractant.
Oh.
Much like me when I was younger.
Yeah.
Said Professor Michael Dickinson. Laboratory was used to carry out the research, and everybody got fucked up every night.
So if you're going to drink outside, don't drink anything with CO2 in it.
Right.
Does that mean carbonated? Is that?
I think so.
Okay.
What's interesting, wine, I mean, wine is air sealed, but is it a little like sparkling wine's carbonated?
I guess it depends. Maybe you're hitting that champagne.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind a good cider.
But a long series of papers claimed that fruit flies were averse to CO2. They are basically the only insect for which that was reported. Consensus was baffling because scientists think about stupid shit like this.
Yeah, who the fuck's sitting around going, "Oh, this is such an epidemic. Let's throw millions of dollars at why fruit flies like my beer."
Yeah.
Like, who's drumming up the funding for that? No, it's just so important. No, forget the kids with cancer.
Yeah.
It's my beer outside. I don't like to have it covered.
Yeah.
We need to find out more.
How bad is it if you eat a fruit fly? Like if it gets in your drink.
It's probably protein.
Yeah, I mean, it's like people
are
eating roaches and grasshoppers.
On, like,
I mean, I don't want a fucking fruit fly.
Naked and afraid?
Flies are nasty fucks. You know, like they land on shit and everything.
Just push the fly out of the beer.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, again,
listen,
I didn't know
people
this
are
was
lazy.
A critical
they won't teach
issue.
Their kids about fucking bullying.
Oh, God.
And they won't fucking, I don't have time to swat away these gnats.
These fruit flies are ruining my alcoholism.
Yeah. Fucking fruit flies.
All right, so we got to the bottom of that one. Wow, is this what we're doing now with our time in America?
Yeah. Oh, you know, this reminds me, an earlier open mic joke even. Same thing, me and Lenny were doing the show here, and one of the stories was that there was a guy in Italy that he got a grant
for about half a million euro to do a study on whether or not a bra is good or bad for women.
Oh,
you know
okay,
what I mean?
Interesting.
Yeah, so he's like, yes, I do the study. Our first test is the motorboat test.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Is this scientific? Yes.
All right. So what you're saying is you can put together a whole bit now on one-liners about studies.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I can add that one with it.
That's what I'm saying when I say put together a whole bit on studies.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll take down notes because
I got to remember. Now I got to listen to the whole show again. God dang it.
You'll remember this. All right. It's gold, Dougie.
Thank you.
It's comedy gold.
All right. Well, I think we're at 18. When I say 18 minutes? All right. So we're at, we're almost at the end of the show. Who brings Olive? Olive oil to Portugal. You know, Portugal is one of the largest distributors of olive oil, some of the best in the world.
I am aware.
And I guess these cocaine smugglers thought it'd be a good idea to ship cocaine into Portugal.
Yeah.
By putting it in olive oil bottles.
Yeah, okay.
Like, you know, somebody in a port goes, wait a minute, is that leaving or going?
Well,
I know,
was
that's
it
a terrible
liquefied
Portuguese
cocaine? Like, I don't understand how they think a bunch of white
powder. Well,
that,
my point
in a
is that, like, if you're going to put it in something, put it in like maybe gasoline or rice or something that's coming into Portugal.
As opposed to
their
oil,
largest
they
fucking
export. Okay,
yes.
I get that. I wasn't.
It's like trying
wow,
to send,
you went deep on that. Well, I was not making that connection.
I don't know how deep that was. It's almost like sending oil barrels to fucking Saudi Arabia.
I get it. I get it. What you're saying. It's an odd choice.
In Lisbon. Capital of Portugal, I believe, who would bring a suitcase full of olive oil to Portugal, one of the world's biggest producers of the stuff. Police in Lisbon Airport were already suspicious of one passenger before they discovered 24 bottles of extra virgin oil. It's like going to Spain with Yardros.
Yeah, I get it.
24 bottles of extra virgin oil marked as Argentinian made. You bring that shit here?
Yeah, they were probably, like, more appalled that, like, some Argentinian shitty olive oil was sitting there. They were probably, like, cracking on it and being like, no, you taste the shitty olive oil.
That's the way,
and
that's the way I feel when the fucking waiter brings me a wine list and says, all we have is the Australian wines.
Oh.
Or the Ecuadorian or the fucking
How
shit.
How about, like, California?
I love California wine. Yeah, that's
so
what I usually drink. I'm a fucking... I'm a
made
patriot.
In the USA?
I'm a patriot, baby.
I didn't even think about that when it came to wine.
We had information that the man could be a trafficker, so he was stopped for checks. But the fact that he was coming to Portugal with a bunch of olive oil definitely reinforced our suspicions, which proved to be right.
What an idiot.
The oil was found to be mixed with cocaine.
Oh, so they did liquefy it.
Mm.
Oh, man, that would have been some great olive.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, the olive oil, it's like just $1,000 a bottle. It's great shit. It's...
Yeah. Why does that guy have a straw for his olive oil? We have seizures of drugs hidden in bananas.
He puts the olive oil on everything. Yeah. Ice cream, yeah. Cake, it doesn't matter. Breakfast food, pastries.
Yeah, exactly. I love my olive oil. It's the best.
He probably came over there like, I love olive oil so much. I can't even have your shitty Spanish olive oil.
This is my favorite.
Yeah. Like when people bring their own salad dressing to like restaurants. And
oh,
stuff.
I know, right? Oh, no,
that's
have
a
my
Seinfeld,
own.
But it's still, I'm sure it happens.
There are people that do that.
Yeah, I imagine that's how
I've had. I've met some comics that actually bring their pillows from home.
I bring my pillows from home.
You do?
Yeah. No, not all of them, just one.
I can't.
Because you never know when you're going to get some shitty pillows. You got to have the buffer of at least one of yours.
I let hotels know where I'm staying. I'm like, listen, I like writing reviews, and one of the most important things to me is how many pillows I have in my bed.
No, it's not about quantity. You can always order more pillows. What happens if they have shitty, hard pillows, and I like a really
squishy
pillow?
I never stay at a Red Carpet Inn, okay?
All right.
Okay,
only
this
luxury
was our,
for
I think,
you.
I think this.
They got nice pillows in those comedy condos, huh? Like
no, not them. Sometimes
you got to bring your own pillow. That's what I'm saying.
There's one I called the postal pillow because it looked like a fucking envelope.
Okay,
you know
what
I mean? It's like, hey, did somebody put the pillow in the sheet?
One 800-pound person sat on this fucking pillow for 5 hours.
You know, I mean, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Here's funny. Steve saving Clark's neck. Panic at a Lampoon Christmas display. You know, National Lampoon's Vacation. Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Great series of movies.
I'm aware of it.
Right? In Austin, Texas, a holiday display meant to recreate a scene from the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation looked a little too real and caused a veteran to spring into action.
What was the scene?
The Herlene family placed a dummy representing Clark Griswold
Okay.
Dangling from the gutter of their Austin, Texas home.
Oh, that just sounds like good fun to me.
With a ladder tipping beneath him. A veteran passing by thought it was a real thing and wrestled the ladder up while shouting, "Can you reach it?" I think he's in shock. Reports the man called the police, who arrived and advised the family they were getting calls about the display. They have since put up a sign that says, "Clark G is part of our Christmas display. Please don't call 911. Oh, people today, man. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Where I live in Delray, they keep posting in like some of the Facebook groups that are local oriented. I guess there's this house, and Dan and I will be going to see it. It is not Christmas themed. For a evergreen all year theme, they have put what looks like a big like African it looks like a scene from The Lion King.
Right.
And they have two fake lions, a tiger, a fake iguana, a monkey. Like, they have all these fake animals, and it's gigantic in the middle of the yard.
Wow.
And they keep, this is the thing and why it keeps getting posted, they keep adding new animals.
Oh, wow.
So every time they add a new animal, like, people start posting it on the local things. And it's starting to cause traffic issues on this place called Lawson Street, where this house exists.
Yeah.
With an African safari scene that's in the front yard. Yeah, no, that's how you got to love Del Rey.
That's so funny. With that, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Yep.
I want to thank Minna for joining me today.
Always a pleasure.
And we'd like to thank everybody on Facebook Live who stuck around. There's only one person there now, but they stuck around when we had the issue.
But we had four or five people who stuck with us through technical difficulties today.
They'll be rewarded.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'll send them something.
Oh, okay. And then, are you going to do, like, sexual things for them?
No, what am I, a whore? Don't answer that. At any rate, anyway, thanks for listening. We will be back tomorrow. A special show tomorrow. Danny the Jew's back. And,
oh, yeah?
And Jackie Sanchez will be sitting in.
Love Jackie Sanchez. Yeah, that sounds like a fun pair.
Yeah, it'll be fun. So she'll be in tomorrow. And I think we're doing around 5:30. I got to look back at the time. But I always go to our fan page on Facebook, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. We post the shows and when they're coming. Follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. And go to our home site at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, which we have an Amazon page. You go to that. And please do some Christmas shopping on there because that helps us. I always forget to tell people on the holidays. If you're going to buy something on Amazon, go to our Wake Up Late with Dougie Show on Podbean.com.
Okay.
Find it and just go to the patron page and go in there and it says Amazon shop and buy whatever you're going to want. And we get a little bit of a kickback on it.
All right. I'm going to hook that up on my Amazon.
And you don't
today.
Pay more. You actually get a discount.
Okay. Right? Discounts. I like discounts.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially this time of year. Girl needs a discount right now.
That's right. That's where we'll be. And don't forget, Thursday I'll be at the 26 Acres Brewery performing. With Samuel Cochran, the guy who was a finalist in America's Got Talent this year. He's the headliner. I don't remember his name.
Excellent.
I don't give a fuck. I'm going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in Concord, North Carolina. And then I'll be in Greenville, South Carolina at the Comedy Zone Friday and Saturday this week. Go to their sites for dates. And follow me on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous and on Instagram.
You can follow me anywhere on social at Minda is Awesome. Next Comedy Basement date, December 15th. Cal Verducci's coming in. Yeah, so it's going to be a good time. Deerfield Beach.
Crazy Cow. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll be back tomorrow right here at the same spot. Take care.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. People of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. Came a sound from inside, thick beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination through the door to the world.